Thanks for joining us on Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with my dad, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. We're joined by Luann Crane. Dad, and Luann, yesterday we heard from a woman who experienced some incredible struggles in her life.
She really did, Ryan. I mean, many people will recall, as Sherry Rose Shepherd explained, that deep hurt she went through in her teen years. She had a battle with her weight, and her peers were downright cruel to her. In fact, if you recall, Doctor, I hate to even restate this story, but the homecoming king told her at one point that she looked like a whale. I mean, that would be hurtful to any of us.
Well, isn't it sad how mean kids can be to each other, especially at such a vulnerable age? As a teen, your sense of self-worth is right there on your sleeve. Mm-hmm. And to have the most gorgeous human being in your life say something so vicious as that, it stays with you for the rest of your life. People who say there's no such thing as low self-esteem or a lack of self-worth are just wrong. I'm sorry. That is what many learned people say. They just don't remember what childhood in junior high and high school was like. It can be devastating. And to say that this is just a left-wing effort to say it doesn't matter whether you study or not or whether you've learned anything. All that matters is that you feel good about yourself. That's not what we're talking about here.
Listen, and it doesn't have to come from the homecoming queen or king. Yeah. My friend's mom, who was not a pleasant person, called me scrawny when I was about 7 or 8 years old. I can tell you where I was and how I felt. And I'm 41. I still remember that thing.
Why do you remember it today?
I don't know.
Why did it stay with you?
It does.
That goes right to the soul.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. And it hurts when you see kids going through things like that. We may come back to that subject with regard to parenting, because it's more relevant now than ever.
That's right, Dad, especially with all the bullying that's happening in schools around the country. Sherry Rose not only had weight issues, but she also shared that she had drug addiction and depression problems as well.
Well, those things are often related, and in fact, sexual misconduct often comes out of that scenario too, because people who have been wounded are looking for someone to accept them. Girls particularly are vulnerable at that point. Now, Sherry Rose Shepherd is married to Steve, and they have two children, and she is very passionate about reaching women with the hope of the gospel. And for that reason, she's authored several books, including My Prince Will Come and His Princess, Love Letters from the King.
Well, Dr. Sherry Rose also travels and speaks a great deal. She recorded this message, which we will hear the balance of today, at a conference in Miami during an outreach event with about 2,000 women in the audience. So let's hear from her now on this Family Talk broadcast as she further describes how the Lord plucked her out of that destructive lifestyle.
I had the top of the world experience from the outside. And I started out weight loss with wonderful, healthy eating habits and exercising and got to experience the fruits of taking care of God's temple. But I didn't know the Lord at the time. And all of a sudden, 4 years into this healthy lifestyle, I became severely bulimic. I was throwing up my food 6 to 8 times a day. But when I was bulimic, no one had a word for it. So I didn't know how to go to someone and go, I eat and throw up, is that normal? And I was in bondage. I was in what I call Barbie bondage, plastic perfectionism, something that doesn't exist. And I checked myself in a hotel room with a bottle of sleeping pills with the intentions of taking my life, to be honest with you. And I held those pills and I cried at the top of my lungs, God, do you exist? You know what the Word of God says? If you seek him with all your heart, that you will find him. I was a desperate girl with a bottle of sleeping pills, bulimic, saying, God, do you exist? And I fell asleep that night holding those sleeping pills. And the Lord brought back a memory to me. The drug dealer that gave me the LSD that almost took my life on my prom night. A Christian invited him to a youth camp, and he gave his life to Christ. He came back the next weekend, started handing out Bible tracts, and he spent all of his junior and senior year telling everybody in the whole campus that Jesus was the way, and he started a Bible study on our campus, because when I went to high school, there was no problem having a Bible study on campuses. And it grew. And often, this young man, his sweet face, from this wretched, angry drug dealer to this sweet face, would come up to me, and he'd get in my face, and he'd say, "Sherry Rose, I'm praying for you, and Jesus is your answer." And I remembered that in that dream when I was holding those sleeping pills, sleeping. And the next morning I got up and I wondered a little bit about Jesus. And God didn't waste any time, because a boyfriend of mine that wasn't even a Christian said, "Would you like to go over tonight to my grandparents' house for dinner?" Well, his grandparents were missionaries to Albania. And when missionaries pray for you, you just get saved because they wreck your sinful life and all the joy that's in it. And their lives changed mine. And their lives caused me to thirst for righteousness. And they asked me, "What do you want more than anything?" I said, "I want to be Miss USA." They said, "Let me tell you about the greatest crown of all. It's not a crown appointed by man. It's the crown of life appointed by God. And if you will accept Jesus as your Savior, He will do exceedingly abundantly more than you'd ever dare to dream, hope, or ask for. Way better than any worldly crown." I said, "I can't. I'm a Jew." They said, "When you're ready, you call on the name of Jesus and He'll answer." And I'm sure they faithfully prayed for me, because 30 days later in a hotel room again with a bottle of sleeping pills, this Jewish American princess said, "Jesus, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Savior, if you could transform my life like you transformed my friend the drug dealer's life, I pray that you'd come into my life and that you would transform me." Not in a church, by myself, in a hotel room, me and God. The next day, I went to work out at a health club, and two girls walked up to me, obviously God ordained, and said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "I have no idea. I think so." And I told them what happened. And they said, "You're a Christian." And they discipled me for 2 years, and in 2 years of discipling me, they would say to me, "Someday you're going to speak and share this story across the nation. You are now a daughter of the King. Your name has now been written in the book of life." And praise God that God interceded those people to teach me the word. And I stand before you tonight as a former drug addict, bulimic, from a dysfunctional home. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. See, we don't need to impress each other with how perfect we are. We need to bless each other. Do you know that if you will pray that God will use you to be a blessing, you won't care about impressing each other anymore, and you will find those intimate friendships that you're longing for? We weren't created to fit into this world, created to fit into an image of this world. We were created to stand out. We really do need to be that salt, because our world right now has lost its craving for God, because we don't have a grip on who we are in Christ, because we are not seeing ourselves the way God does. So we're not causing them to thirst for righteousness. My pastor said, "You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." But he said, "You can feed him salty peanuts." And our life is the salty peanuts. And our choices. And if we don't get a grip on who we are in Christ, because I think, for me, the greatest deliverance is from myself. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. I cause most of my own problems. We are His princesses, daughters of the Most High King. I was in New York with my husband, and I'd never been to the big city, and I really wanted to see it. So the pastor and his wife, after we ministered, were nice enough to take us into the city. And before we went in, the four of us prayed for a divine appointment. And all day could have gone by. We would have had to trip someone to get a divine appointment. They move so fast in New York City. But it was 10 o'clock that evening. And when we were there in this wonderful little bakery, two girls walked up to me and said, "Are you a celebrity?" I said, "I am. My Father created the heavens and the earth. He's the King of Kings." "Excuse me?" I said, "My Father's a king, the King of Kings. Do you know who God is?" I said, "Well, yes, we know who God is. We're Jewish." I said, "What a coincidence. So is my Savior." And I began to share. Well, they said, "Well, we went to, you know, we just got out of drug rehab, you know, only perfect people go to church. I said, well, let me share with you a story. And as we began to share, one girl was talking, the other girl was listening. She began to cry uncontrollably. And she said, are you guys angels? I said, we are far from angels. I said, but this morning, believe it or not, the four of us got together and we said, God, we know there's someone in this city that needs to know that you love them and needs to know how special they are to you. And God ordained this moment at 10 o'clock p.m. in this restaurant in New York City so you could have your name written in the book of life and become his princess. Will you pray with us? We prayed with them. This should not be an exceptional story for a Christian. This should be a daily occurrence. Now, many of us don't have the gift to talk. Praise God, we have some that have the gift of listening. And you may say, well, I don't feel comfortable talking to a stranger. You can walk by and pray for a stranger. You can show grace. You can do an act of service. You can give a book, a tape. It's amazing how God can use us. We all have different gifts. He's going to use us in different ways. It's that, do we desire to be used by him? What is abundant, exceedingly abundantly? You know from experience, if you have been used by the Lord, you gain great God confidence, and it's an awesome feeling, and it's better than any makeover, isn't it? That feeling of knowing that your life made a difference in someone else's is the most awesome high you could ever imagine. Better than any shopping spree, better than any spa day, better than any new house, better than anything is knowing my life mattered. My life changed that person's life because of the power of God working in me. That's the exciting thing. See, weight loss could change my body, but it couldn't change my life. It couldn't change my life. It could only change my body. And makeup could cover up my blemishes, but they couldn't cover up my insecurities. Clothes could make me feel cool, but they couldn't make me content. And attention, which I was addicted to, could make me feel popular, but it could not give me purpose. It couldn't fill me up. Boys could make me feel pretty, but they couldn't take away my pain. See, I think it's great to become the best version of you. I really do. I think that God wants us to become the best version of ourselves, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. I truly do. And we feel great when we're the best version of ourselves. But when who God has made us to be, we're saying is not enough because we're in the comparison game. If I was like her, if I was talented like her, then I could be used of God too. Instead of just becoming the best version of who God has called us to be and walking in that God confidence. See, I used to think that the best version of my hair wasn't enough because I only have four pieces. And I wanted big hair really bad. Okay, being raised in Southern and Northern California, there's lots of big hair there. So, and I never had the big hair. So I happened to see an infomercial that said I could have big hair. So I bought a pound of it that went down to my bottom. I speak all over the country, so if I walked in here with hair extensions, you don't know I don't have big hair. So I couldn't wait to get to my next booking with my big hair. Okay? I'm whipping it all over the place because I'm so into the hair that doesn't even belong to me. So I'm just like, you know, I just want to speak like this. You know? And I went get ready to do my second session. And the woman hugs me and says, you've been such a blessing to us. And she's like, you know, 8 inches taller than me and unclips tons of it. But I have it so teased up. I used to tease my hair so much it finally attacked me. You know, I mean, I had it so teased up and I had all these clips in her that I didn't notice that she unclipped it. Okay? So I'm up here speaking and my hair is falling out all around me and women are going like this. And I could hear the Lord say to me, even the numbers of hair on your head I know, and I don't recognize any of those. That's what I could hear him say. See, we just need to become the best version of ourselves, you know? My obvious deliverance was from hair bondage. You know, when I became a Christian, I was 24 years old. And I'll be honest, I was starting to think about who I was going to marry. And I wanted to grow up and live happily ever after. And I was determined, since I came from a dysfunctional home, you know, and by the way, I kind of feel sorry for functional people because I want to know what support group they belong to. You know, but I had made up my mind that I was going to marry a functional man. I was going to marry a man that came from a Christian home. There was no divorces in his family. I wanted to make a wise choice. I wanted to marry into everything I didn't have. So I married a functional man. We've been married for 15 years, and it's been 5 of the best years of my life. Hey, if you don't like real, I'm not your speaker. Now, Steve, my functional man, suffered from RDD. Now, maybe many of your husbands suffered from RDD. Romantic Deficit Disorder. Now, I want to tell you that I am not dying before Steve and letting any woman reap the benefits of my training, because he's an awesome husband now, and no one's going to reap that benefit but me. And I love him more than anything now, and he's turned out to be all and more exceedingly than I'd ever dared to dream. I will have to tell you, I have a marriage tape on the back tape. We definitely had to work hard to get to that place. How many of you know that two imperfect people coming together does not equal a perfect marriage? Okay, you get the picture. Well, I followed my functional man to the state of Arizona, where I lived for 10 years. So I tell people I was a Jew that wandered around the desert. Have you ever been to Arizona before in the summer? Anybody ever been there in August? Well, if you have not and you'd like to experience it tonight, I'd like you to go home, stick your blow dryer on high, and put it in your mouth. Well, family planning worked fantastic for Steve and I. You know, when you get married and you always say when you're going to have children, I think we're going to be married for this long, and 2 years later we're going to have this many children, and so on. So we had made our little family plan, and I got pregnant on my honeymoon on birth control with our son. And then I was turning 40, and I asked my husband to get, you know, a vasectomy. And he loves that I tell tens of thousands of women that he's had one, being the shy man that he is. And the night before, I got pregnant with the daughter I deserve. How many of you know the mother's curse works? Now, my daughter wears a great big bow on her head. Can you see that great big bow? She wears a great big bow. Now, people ask me, how do you get your daughter to keep that bow on her head? I said, look at me. I am 42 and the mother of a toddler. I have not slept in 18 months. She only nursed on the left side. She will wear the bow. You know, when I became a mom, I began to think about my relationship with my mother. And even though I had a wonderful relationship with my stepmother who invested great things in my life, when I was pregnant with my son, I truly began to think about, I need a relationship with my mom. I just don't want to pass any generational curses over to the next generation by my own unforgiveness. And I pretended pretty well because I had a great stepmom. It doesn't bother me that I haven't talked to my mom since I was 14. You know, of course it did. But I had my doctorate in denial, so I had convinced myself it did not. And so I had written my mom a letter to let her know that she was going to be a grandmother, and I wanted her to meet her grandson and to be back in my life. And it had been a lot of years since my parents divorced. They divorced when I was 13. And I got a box in the mail from my mom that I was very excited about. I thought it was a gift. And it had my baby shoes in it, my birth certificate, and it had my baby clothes and pictures, and it had a stickum on my birth certificate. I wish you'd never been born. No one caused me greater pain than you. See, when we don't deal with our pain and our past, we do, whether we want to or not, pass it on to the next generation. My mom loved me, but she was paralyzed by pain. She longed to love me. She wanted a daughter all her life, just like I wanted a daughter all my life. But she was paralyzed by the pain of her past and wasn't free by God to love me the way that she wanted to. I cried out to God. I said, God, I don't feel like it's my fault that my parents divorced. I don't feel like it's my fault that I had to make a choice who to live with. I don't feel like I did anything wrong, God. And I felt the Lord just say to me, either did I, but I went to a cross for you. And through a bucket of tears, I wrote a letter to my mom asking her to forgive me for whatever I had done to cause her to regret giving birth to me, never once bringing up anything that she or my father had ever done. Today, my mother lives 3 miles from me, and she's taking care of my granddaughter, her granddaughter, my daughter, so I can be here tonight to minister to you. Today, my mother is born again. God has restored everything that's been lost. I want to tell you something tonight. You want to have the abundant life, the exceedingly abundantly more than you'd ever dream? It comes from obedience. Obedience brings a breakthrough. There's no other way. There's ways that seem right, but in the end, it leads to destruction. But obedience brings the breakthrough. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses' last words before he died, he said to God's people, God wants to bless you, but your blessing is dependent upon your obedience. And he says, if you don't obey the Lord, not only will you rip yourself off of the blessings of God, but you'll lift his shield of protection off of you. Obedience brings the breakthrough. As my dad would say, lose the battle and win the war. God's amazing. He does exceedingly abundantly more than we'd ever dare to ask, dream, or hope for. I never dreamed I would be in the ministry either. I had no idea the plans that God had for me. I know he says he has plans to give us a hope and a future. And God opened up a gift inside of me that I didn't even know I had through a very embarrassing moment. My husband went to seminary at Talbot University, and I was sitting at a dinner with him with several university professors and their wives. And one of the women in front of everybody said, I heard you were fat, Jewish, and on drugs. What happened? I began to share my story. And when I left that dinner, I said to my husband, I am glad I never have to do that again. And a few weeks later, that same woman called me at my home. And she said, I'm the director of a Christian leadership organization, and we have 400 leaders from across the nation coming to Arizona. And I was wondering, you know that story that you so graciously shared with us at dinner? I was wondering if you could come and share your story for these leaders. I said, first of all, lady, I am not coming and sharing my story with 400 Christian leaders that have never sinned before. She said, Sherry Rose, God didn't pull you out of that dark place for you to keep it to yourself. He pulled you out so you can pull others out also. Well, being Jewish, you can manipulate me by guilt. So I took her up on her offer. She gave me 45 minutes, in which I took 15 and ran off of the platform. A few weeks later, Steve said, we have a few messages on our voicemail of women from different parts of the country that would like you to come and share at their women's conferences. I said, what is it with these Christian women? I'm not a speaker. And I'll never forget when I returned the first phone call and they asked me what I charged to come and speak. And I said, let me get this right. You want to pay me to come talk about myself? That's a job I could do. All my life, there's only two things I love to do, and that's eating and talking. I had no idea that God was going to take the one gift, which I didn't even realize was a gift, and use it for him. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we'd ever dare or dream hope for. If no one ever affirms you, if you never get the things that you think you want, you have it all if you know Christ. You have been chosen by the God of the universe to represent him as his princess. Our character is what's going to carve out the future. The Bible says we have the power of life and death in our tongue. Do you realize that we can use our words to change the course of lives? By one timely word.
Well, we certainly have heard a timely word from our speaker here on Family Talk today. You've been listening to Mrs. Sherry Rose Shepherd reminding us that we've got to reach out to those around us who are hurting and who need that encouraging word.
Here's a woman, Luann, who grew up in a severely dysfunctional family, in Hollywood no less, who endured ridicule and who struggled with addictions. Yet, as she just stated, she was chosen by the God of the universe to represent him as a daughter of the king. That's inspiring to me.
Well, Dad, if it can happen to Sherry Rose, it can happen to every single person listening today. And I truly hope that airing these two programs will be useful in reaching out to those people.
And if you've been touched by what you've heard today, give us a call. Let us know how we can pray for you. The number is 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. When you call, ask for a complimentary CD copy of this two-day presentation. In fact, ask for a couple of copies to have on hand and pass those out to others that the Lord brings across your path who are also hurting.
Luann, we make these available on a complimentary basis, but if our listeners are able to help out with the cost of duplicating and distributing our CDs, we would welcome any donation you can send. It also allows us to send resources to those who are financially unable to do so.
So visit us online, familytalk.org. You can find the donate tab there. And also you can learn more about Sherry Rose's ministry as well as get a copy of her book. It's called My Prince Will Come. Really provides encouragement to women to understand their wholeness in Christ.
Thanks again for tuning in. Be with us tomorrow for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.